Mel Moore.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
And here we go on a Tuesday. What a bunch of crazy stories. You got the Colorado guy, and he says the wife killed the kids. You got goats on the subways. You got alligators dragging women and killing them. And
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom today.
Just crazy stories, and didn't even mention the White House. It's unbelievable. Hey, Michael, how you doing?
Good morning, Len. Were you up late last night watching the VMAs on MTV?
I did not watch one second of it. What'd you think?
Well, I like Shawn Mendes. I thought he was pretty good.
We had no idea.
I watched the beginning. They had a couple of stupid comedians on bashing Trump. And I turned on my computer, put on my headphones, and I watched Fauda, my favorite show on Netflix. My girlfriend was covering the VMAs for Cosmopolitan, but Fauda was so gripping. I was watching it. I was going, oh, my God. Oh, Jesus, I can't believe it, because the plot twists and turns. She said, will you shut up over there? I'm trying to work.
Is this the second season of Fauda?
I'm still going through the first season.
Oh, first season. I don't know. It's really good. I started watching Sharp Objects or something.
Oh, anybody I love watching Sharp. That? Oh, I just saw the one.
Amy Adams.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, I like Amy Adams.
Very, very dark.
She's producing it, and it's really a stretch, but it's interesting. So I watched some of that, but you were talking about the comedian on the MTV Music Awards.
Yes, that was Trump.
That was Kevin Hart. He was saying,
you never know what's going to happen at the VMAs. I mean, beefs pop off, bad language, people run to the bathroom and send out crazy tweets. It's basically like the typical day at the White House.
Yeah, there you go.
Hilarious,
typical
hilarious.
Day at the White House. You know what they say on the subway? What the hell's going on?
All right, it's a cute story.
Big three stories today. The president says talking to Mueller could be a perjury trap for himself. Really? He says he could run the Mueller probe if he wanted. I have no idea what that means. I'm sure you'll explain it to me, Michael.
I will. I know what it means.
Also in the big three, the Colorado father. He's accused of killing his pregnant wife and two kids. He's claiming it's the wife who killed the kids. Yeah, and then he killed her in a rage, really?
Yeah, and then he took their bodies to an oil tank and dumped them there?
Yeah, please. That was it. Oh, yeah. Running out the big three, why are gunshots being fired at a luxury East Side high-rise? This is a crazy story, which we'll get into. Hey, at 7:30, my personal Mets tickets, and at 8:30, we'll have the Turning Point contest. That was one bizarre loss for the Mets last night. I don't know who stayed around to the 13th inning to watch the Mets lose 2-1 on a botched pop-up. This was Howie just started to call the play.
Swinging a high pop-up. It should get the Mets out of the inning.
Yeah, it should get the Mets out of the inning. I'll let you know how that movie turned out.
Go back to the VMAs.
Oh, boy. So what's your, Joe Bartlett, tell me, you're Mr. Newsman. What's your top story today?
Well, you know, tooth story. The Colorado thing really bothers me because this guy is a phony. And I saw it from the very beginning when the family went missing. I said, and I saw his reaction. I said, that guy did it. He was just too calm.
Yeah.
His whole family was missing. And he says, well, I hope they're found.
He knew where they were in an oil tank.
Well, here's the original statement he made long before any accusations were made.
We would like to thank everyone in the Frederick Police Department and all the agencies involved for working so hard to find my daughter, granddaughters, and Nico.
Okay, that's a statement from the...
that's not the original.
Yeah, no, that's not the original statement. We'll track that one down. But he originally came on and said that he wanted everyone to find the...
I turned to my wife and I said, the guy did it.
Yeah.
That was the father-in-law. That was the father of the slain woman.
Yeah, right.
The problem is, though, this guy claims that he actually saw his wife strangling the kids, found them dead in the bed, and then he killed her. Now, why then does he gather up all three bodies?
That's right.
And dump them in an oil tanker? Yeah. Why? I mean, you go crazy, you call the police, maybe you flip out, you kill yourself. I don't know what you do, but you don't pick up the bodies and drive them away. So he's clearly guilty.
Well, this was Christopher Watts. Joe, this is what you were talking about initially.
We had an emotional conversation, but I'll leave it at that. But it's, I just want them back. I just want them to come back.
So he was saying they had some kind of an emotional confrontation or conversation.
Yeah, that's all he said. Emotional discussion.
He says he just wanted them back.
The kids are my life. I mean, those smiles light up my life. If they're safe right now, they're going to come back. But if they're not safe right now, that's the not knowing part.
And allegedly, he had already dumped their bodies in an oil tank. The girls and the wife, and he killed them all. And he's going on TV saying,
last night I had every light in the house on. I was hoping that I would just get just ran over by the kids running in the door and just like barrel rushing me, but it didn't happen.
So you watched that initially, Joe, and you said to your wife, guilty.
Yep.
Right, I thought, forensic files. Forensic files.
But see, now he's changing the story.
Yes. He's claiming that the wife strangled the kids. Well, anyway, first of all, she was pregnant. He was having an affair.
Yeah.
This is a wonderful story. What a great guy.
Well, they look like an all-American family. That's the strange part of this thing.
Yeah, so, they're a cute couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was having an affair. I guess they argued over that. And he's claiming that the wife strangled the kids. And then in a fit of rage, he killed her. But if she strangled the kids, why did he go throw them in an oil tank somewhere?
Because he killed them all.
Yeah.
They'll be able to figure that out.
This is exactly how a forensic files begins. Yeah, right. They say, oh, what happened? Did she kill the kids? And then slowly, they show that he's the liar and he's the killer.
And he could get the death penalty in Colorado, too.
How does he go on TV and say this?
Last night, I had every light in the house on. I was hoping that I would just ran over by the kids running in the door and just, like, barrel rushing me. But it didn't happen.
No, you're going to get run over by an injection.
I hope it's one of those ones that goes awry.
Yeah, that's right. The one that doesn't
work
right
away.
Takes
a long time.
Christopher Watts. Wow. That's just unbelievable. So that's number one. Now, how about you were telling me, Joe, that this alligator story is the other one that is so fascinating. This is at Hilton Head, and this is where, right down the road from where you vacation?
Well, this happened in Sea Pines, and we go to Palmetto Dunes, which is just a little further north. Sea Pines is the very southern tip of the island. But it's pretty representative. In Hilton Head, there's these, you know, golf courses and resorts, and there are lagoons. And there's a lot of water, and you see alligators. When we walk, we see alligators in the water.
I see them on the bank when I'm playing golf at my parents' place in Sarasota.
Yeah, it's not an uncommon sight.
So this lady's walking her dog. Apparently, the alligator comes after the dog, but I heard one alligator expert on CBS saying that alligators don't normally come out
they
of the water.
They don't normally come out
and looking for prey. Yeah.
Right, because they don't have the power there. They're the best in the water.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's why they drag you into the water.
But right. I think, I'm only theory here, but the alligator probably wanted the dog.
Oh, it did.
That's edible. The dog is edible.
Oh, he went after the dog.
And
that
it got
was
the lady's leg instead.
Happened.
And then the lady tried to defend
and she
save
tried
the dog.
To drag the dog back on the leash. Ooh, and right. That's when she got pulled in.
Let me defend the alligator here for a minute.
Stop.
go for that, Michael.
No, I'm just going to say, if I'm the alligator, I'm hungry, and there's little dogs there, okay, I'm going to go take a bite out of the dog. Then some lady comes yelling at me, screaming at me. I feel like I'm being attacked, and I'm going to attack back. That's what's going through the alligator's mind. Oh, the alligator's not a predator, not out there. I'm going to eat that lady.
The alligator is
self-defense, Len. This is alligator self-defense.
Oh, my God. I can't believe he's doing that.
He's got off the
deep
edge.
What happened to you?
I'm just explaining.
I'm
trying to see it from the alligator's perspective.
There is no alligator. Alligators don't have brains, and neither do you. Jeez. They said that alligators don't normally come out of the water, so this one was obviously sick or something.
Well, the woman probably was too close to the water.
Well,
I'm sure there are signs out there that say beware of alligators.
I love
and
Riedel.
She strolled around the pond with her dog. What
Riedel
does she think's going to happen?
Such a typical newspaper guy blaming the victim.
Well, he's right about the signs.
Uh-huh.
There are signs, and if you live there, you know you don't walk along the edge, especially with a little dog.
Exactly. So now Bartlett's with me defending the alligator.
Well, I'm not defending the alligator.
let's just start a sentence with, "Well, try to see things from the alligator's perspective." Really?
I'm taking a contrarian
position. Can we
please
remember that a woman died here?
Yes, can we please?
45-year-old woman, beautiful
guys are
woman.
Sick.
Yeah, Michael.
What do you mean, you guys? Don't paint us all with a Riedel
brush.
You're
laughing too.
I'm trying to see things from the alligator's
perspective.
Let me think about this. Well, the lady's walking too close, and that
world
dog
do
looks
I
awfully
live?
Tasty.
It does. I mean, come on. The alligator is not an evil being. It's just doing what it does. It eats things. Golfers.
All right. When we come back, we've got goats and we've got gunshots. Only in New York, baby. But first, let's get going with Bernie Vider and our morning look at traffic.
Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Now, Len, you know I am an animal lover.
You are?
Yes. And
you couldn't tell from the last segment.
Well, no. I mean, come on. You gotta. I was just, I was presenting the point of view of Mother Nature, okay?
Yeah, well, you cost us a listener.
What happened?
Well, Natalie, the lady called up and she said that Michael Riedel is a miserable human being.
What?
He's making light of a woman's tragedy. This poor woman was dragged into the water and killed by an alligator at Hilton Head. And you're saying, well, let's see things from the alligator's perspective. And she said she's no longer listening. So, one less listener, thanks to you and your animal-loving ways.
I was simply saying, Len, that the alligator was hungry. That's a natural thing for an alligator to be. The woman is walking the dog, goes after the dog. The woman, quite rightly, tries to save her little dog. And then the alligator feels it's under attack, so it's going to attack back. The thing is, don't walk close to a pond in Florida.
Yeah, but
that's where alligators live.
But when you started your little spiel with, well, let's see things from the alligator's perspective, as if the alligator has a brain.
Of course it has a brain. Alligators are very cunning creatures. Okay. They lie in wait, and then they surprise you. So,
elsewhere in animal land.
Well, this is a story that warms my heart. Two goats were found waiting for the N train. Long wait, I'm sure.
Did they use Metro card?
They had Metro cards. Two billy goats. They were on the tracks in Brooklyn, the N train, Brooklyn, Monday morning. The cops came, had to tranquilize them. They were not killed, fortunately, and took them away. And as the NYPD says, they were two very bad boys. They often find cats or dogs on the tracks, but this is a first. Two goats. Good thing they didn't touch the third rail like that thief who stole the woman's purse the other day and ran into the subway and hit the third rail and was electrocuted.
Well, Jon Stewart, famous TV comedian, of course. He does things in conjunction with the Upstate Farm Sanctuary, and they helped Jon himself, helped to save the two goats, which he named Willie and Billy. That's the best you could do, Jon? Willie and Billy?
The question is now, where did the goats come from?
Hmm.
I mean, there are no farms out there in Brooklyn.
I know.
You know, well, I actually ate some goat.
Slaughterhouses.
Oh, good for the goats then. They got out of the slaughterhouse.
Yes. There you go.
Oh, I like this story even more. Yeah. That's so sweet.
They freed themselves from dinner.
That's cute.
Wait a second.
So
you
cute.
Ate goat?
Yeah, I ate goat in Greece. Yeah. They eat goats in Greece. I mean, just because I'm an animal lover doesn't mean I don't eat animals.
Where's my lonely goat herd music? Hey, this is Captain Jonathan Bobbin. He's the commanding officer of Transit District 34.
They were nervous and kept running from our personnel, but we were able to get them and take them off the track safely.
There you go.
Sometimes we see cats and dogs, but never goats. No, there's a new one here. That's up to the city's animal care and control to decide. Hopefully they'll find new homes.
Well, they did. John Stewart to the rescue, and Billy and Willie. Can a goat be on the lamb? What's the ruling? I need a ruling.
I think they can. It was like a goat breakout from the slaughterhouse. I wonder if they try to get some of their friends out of there.
All right.
I love that story. Now, this is a story that, a little chilling to think about it. Somebody is shooting into a luxury high-rise on the East River, this building between 72nd and 73rd Street. A lot of rich people live there. It's one of these all glass towers, and somebody across on Roosevelt Island is a sniper, apparently, is shooting into people's bedrooms and living rooms. You see this one?
Yeah, I'm wondering. I have a lot of questions about this. This is known as One East River Place and a couple of apartments. One on the 22nd story, so it's a 50-story building.
Yeah.
And someone lives on the 22nd floor, and she says she was petrified, but they think the shots are coming across the water from Roosevelt Island.
Yes, there's a Manhattan Park complex over there. I wonder if this could be. Now, I'm just speculating here, so don't hold me to it. I wonder if it could be a class warfare kind of thing.
Well,
that the people over on Roosevelt Island in this kind of, working class building are angry at the rich people across the way and are firing into their fancy schmancy living rooms.
I'm not sure the building is an intended target, but it could be. I don't know. One was found on the 14th floor. They found a 38 caliber bullet, most likely from a Smith & Wesson handgun. So shooting a handgun.
Wow.
And then less than 24 hours later, it pierced the window of the 32nd floor. I mean, this has got to be really scary.
Very surprised when we heard about this. I mean, in this neighborhood, I guess in New York these days you don't see these things as much, but you wouldn't expect to see that on the Upper East Side in this neighborhood. So we live around here, so it's it's concerning.
I'll tell you, if I live in that building, I'm not moving. I'm ducking, or I'm not going near the windows.
Zigzag when you go to the bathroom.
Isn't that crazy? But yes. Do you think someone's intentionally targeting them from Roosevelt?
Yes, I mean, you
class warfare, huh?
Yeah, well, you can't miss the building. If you, what's interesting to me is I would have thought it was a rifle, but it is apparently a handgun. I didn't know a gun could shoot that far all the way across the East River.
Hmm. Only in New York. Goats and gunshots making the news today on a Tuesday, August the 21st. Just crazy stuff. Yep.
Wild. Okay, let's get some news now from Joe Bartlett.
Oh, wait a second. This wasn't news, what we were talking about?
Well, no. I mean, the goat thing is fun. Yeah. The sniper stuff, that's news. That's scary.
Joe's probably got better news.
You got some news for us, Joe?
What do you got, Joe?
Who's doing news here?
We'll be the judge.
Okay.
Our news is brought to you by
Joe.
Thank you, guys. Anyway, this is kind of an interesting story that just is developing this morning. A former Nazi labor camp guard captured by ICE agents at his home in Queens has been deported to Germany. Yakiv Pauly is his name. The last known Nazi labor guard to be living in the U.S. became a citizen in 1957 because he lied about his Nazi background. The White House says the 95-year-old took part in a 1943 massacre that killed 6,000 Jews.
Would you like to know more or why it took so long to track them down and how they got them and how they can...
Yeah, the other thing, too, is that he apparently admitted that he was he got Nazi training to the Justice Department, I think in like 2003, so they were on this guy for a while.
Do we know what the massacre was that he took part in?
Yeah, he said 6,000.
All I have is the 1943 massacre that killed 6,000 Jews, but I think he was in Poland.
Mm. Oh, Nazis among us.
Yeah.
Did you ever read that book or see the movie The House on Garibaldi Street about the abduction of Eichmann from Argentina by the Israelis?
No.
Oh, really good. Really compelling.
He was living in Queens.
Queens, yeah.
I saw they wheeled him out. It was like
he's 95 years old. The guy's probably not that mobile, but...
Surprised Israel wasn't agitating for him because Israel, they're pretty tough on the old Nazis.
And
they
also,
hunt them down everywhere. Yeah,
sure. Also, he may stand trial over there, even though he's 95. The Germans have been very aggressive.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Colorado man accused of killing his pregnant wife and two young daughters going to be charged today. Chris Watts now claims his wife killed the kids when he said he wanted a separation. Then he strangled her. A family friend, Nicole Atkinson, says the couple did have some problems.
He wasn't being the loving Chris that he normally was. He wasn't touching or hugging or doing stuff like that.
He claims he flew into a rage when he caught his wife attacking their daughters.
Mm-hmm. That's believable.
Right. Mm-hmm. President Trump says he could run Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation if he wanted to, telling Reuters it's totally allowed, but he's decided to stay out.
What does that mean? He can't run an investigation into himself. What is he talking about?
Well, he runs
the Justice Department.
Yeah, he could. And he could run it more efficiently. He could wrap it up.
So
wrap it up, save some taxpayer money.
I've done nothing wrong.
That's right. End of discussion. Boom, wrap it up. Save some money. Let's move on. That's it. Nothing to see here, folks.
Fine. Okay. Makes perfect sense to me.
Our news brought to you by Gary Goldberg Financial Services. Schedule a free consultation by visiting ggfs.com. Finally, here, the next time you bring your kid to the doctor, he could write a prescription for playtime. New report titled The Power of Play is recommending that all pediatricians tell children that they need to spend more time playing. They say it's critical for healthy development and helps them learn life skills and to reduce stress.
You mean playing instead of videos and things?
Play time, yes. Please. It has fallen significantly in the past 15 years, according to researchers. In fact, about 30% of kindergarten students don't even have recess.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Really?
No. Spend more time studying. That's how you get ahead in life. Play time. Ugh.
What's going on with you? Bartlett, there's something seriously wrong.
What happened in Greece, man?
I ate some goats. Playtime, come on.
30%? Wait a second. Don't have recess in kindergarten?
Right,
30%?
Yeah. You get life skills
life
from playtime.
Yeah, you get beat up. You get pushed around.
Now you're talking. That's the kind of playtime that I want. Now you're talking,
punch
Joe.
Punch ball and whatever else you do. Yeah,
Stay home like I didn't do homework and beat everybody.
Yeah, and come out like you. That's great.
That's
something to aspire to.
All right, we got sports when we come back. The Mets are inventive at losing. But first, let's get some traffic from Bernie Mac.
710 WOR.
Now, before we get on to the Mets fiasco last night, we were saying during a newscast that the president told Reuters that if he wanted to, he could run the Mueller investigation. Again, explain to me exactly what he meant by that.
Well, he runs the Justice Department. He is the chief executive.
Yeah.
He could have the Attorney General fire Mueller.
Yeah.
Although Sessions has recused himself from it, so he didn't put Sessions aside and put somebody else in there.
Rosenstein.
Yeah.
So,
he is the big boss.
But he could run an investigation into himself. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, he could do it probably more efficiently than Mueller's doing it now. It's taking forever, and it's very expensive. How many millions have been spent on this looking for Russian collusion, and all we're getting is, you know, Manafort money laundering and Michael Cohen getting bad loans with his taxicab company? That's Russian collusion? I don't think so.
Well, I got an email yesterday about you. It's from a listener named Arnold.
Oh, I like Arnold. I know Arnold.
You know, he says, Len, your playmate Mike, who is an educated man, is twisting himself in so many strange ways so as not to face the factual truth that Trump is corrupt and inept, that Michael will need a chiropractor very soon, and I do know a good one.
Thank you, Arnold.
our listeners are concerned about you.
I may have to take you up on that one, Arnold.
So there you go. So Mets go into the 13th inning. Zach Wheeler had pitched really well last night.
Yep.
And they go into the 13th. They're tied at one. And, you know, Howie Rose behind the mic. And
swinging a high pop-up. It should get the Mets out of the inning.
Yeah, there were two outs. Just a high, lazy pop-up should get the Mets out of the inning. No, no, no. These are the Mets.
Swinging a high pop-up. It should get the Mets out of the inning. Left side. Rosario back into short left field. Calls off Conforto. Smith and the ball drops. And the Giants take the lead.
Oops.
They came together. McCutchen scores from third. Rosario is out there calling. Smith, the inexperienced left fielder, moving in. I'm not sure how loudly Smith was trying to call him off, but in a play reminiscent of the very early era Mets, Smith collides with Rosario. The ball drops, and the Giants in the 13th inning have taken a 2-1 lead.
Yeah,
is that booing in the background there?
That was definitely booing, yeah. It's definitely reminiscent of Mar Thornberry and Choo Choo Coleman and the rest of those in that Mets. But that was unbelievable. So you had Dominic Smith playing left field. They don't know what to do with this guy. He's a first baseman most of the time. Critics of the Mets are pointing out that they really haven't developed their players, and this is just a symptom of that, how the this guy is all of a sudden stuck in left field. Here was the manager after the game, Mickey Callaway.
Yeah, I think Rosie was camped under it, and then he kind of felt and heard Dom coming up on the back of him and kind of flinched and dropped the ball.
Yeah, so it was Ahmed Rosario short, Dominic Smith in left.
It's inexperienced. He hasn't done that often, and you know, he'll get better at it. I think that's one of the reasons we're trying to get him reps when he was in AAA and left. And you know, I think that he's got a learning curve that he's got to go through to, you know, play left field the way that he's capable of playing it.
But you left know what? Field, I could play left field better than he does.
No, you couldn't. But the critics are right in the sense of this is on the job training.
I know.
This kid in left field. I mean, these are the major leagues, folks. I mean, shouldn't these players be major league ready?
They look like the Keystone Cops. The back of the post says shows them colliding. It says Dom and Dumber.
I know.
Bumbling Smith hands Giants winning run as Mets dropped a new low. God.
Swinging a high pop-up. It should get the Mets out of the inning.
Poor Howie.
And then?
I feel for it. And then along came Jones. So New York Post. Epic Mets blunder leads to most embarrassing defeat yet.
Ooh, but, sports writers are vicious.
Well, much like all you writers. Yeah. Mayor de Blasio jumping on the bandwagon of the Staten Island Little Leaguers.
These guys are doing everything right. They just keep doing what they're doing. We're all behind them.
Yeah.
He roots for the Boston Little League. Isn't he a Boston a Red Sox fan?
Yes.
Well, he's not a Staten Island fan, I'll tell you that.
No, he's not, because those little kids are Republicans out there.
Yes, exactly.
He doesn't want them to win. You kidding? No way.
So you mean he's not going to throw a ticker tape parade?
Oh, he's going to have to, but reluctantly.
If he goes to Staten Island, he's going to be booed big time.
He does not go there often for that reason.
So tomorrow, Staten Island will play Hawaii, and if they win that game, they will then play for the American Championship, and if they win that game, they play for the international crown, and therefore three wins, three and in.
I was watching a bunch of that yesterday. Yeah. These kids are amazing.
Aren't they great?
They really are.
And they play with such confidence
and emotion,
on national television. Some of them are 11, 10 years. They're playing with such aplomb. It's amazing.
I can't imagine. I love watching the parents, too. They're so... They are at the edge of their seats, these parents.
They don't pay these kids, right?
No, they don't pay them. They're in Little League. The parents pay.
Well, there's all that weird stuff that goes on in college sports, NCAA.
They pay kids to pretend they're from Staten Island. And they bring them in from Southern California.
Well, we know that that has happened before in age discrimination. Yeah,
yes.
Hey, by the way, I mean, how touching was this? You had J-Lo on stage last night at the VMA Awards, and you had her main squeeze, Alex Rodriguez, the former Yankee, in the audience. And wow, just get me a tissue.
And Alex, I want. You're like my twin soul. We're like mirror images of each other. You know, my life is sweeter and better with you in it because you make me realize that every day the sky is not the limit. The universe is infinite. And so is what we can accomplish together with love and trust and understanding. There is so much more to do, to experience, and there is no one I'd rather do it with, baby. You're my macho, and I love you.
So let's make an agreement.
Wow, that was gushy.
Let's come back in a year when they break up. Yeah, and that soundbite.
get me to the vomitorium.
Ooh. They seem to be very happy.
They are. J-Lo and A-Rod. It's a match made in tabloid.
Love is in the air.
All right, coming up, we have the two national stories that are just grabbing the headlines and really gripping our attention. We have the Colorado killings. We have the alligator death in Hilton Head. What stories are these? But first, let's check out traffic. Hopefully, it's tamer there. Here's Bernie Viter.
Hey, good morning, everybody. A couple of national stories dominating the headlines this morning. If you're just joining us, this case out in Colorado, Lynn, of the man, he says, his name is Christopher Watts. This is what he's saying. He says that he saw his wife murder their daughters, and he flipped out and then murdered her, right?
Oh, sure.
This is what he claims. Of course, what did he do after he flipped out and murdered her? He took the bodies and dumped them in an oil tank somewhere. So it sounds to me a little bit like this Christopher Watts may have murdered everybody, and he's been changing his story. It's got forensic files written all over it. Apparently there was trouble in the marriage and the relationship, and the guy, well, we've got some sound bites of him. He doesn't sound too convincing to me, I gotta say.
Well, this was originally, this is Watts originally, when he said his wife and daughters, who he probably killed, all three of them, when they went missing, he gave this interview.
We had an emotional conversation, but I'll leave it at that, but it's, I just want them back. I just want them to come back.
Sure. The emotional conversation. Uh-huh. Just want them back.
The kids are my life. I mean, those smiles light up my life. Mm-hmm. If they're safe right now, they're going to come back. But if they're not safe right now, that's the not knowing part.
So this is what he originally said.
Last night, I had every light in the house on. I was hoping that I would just get ran over by the kids running in the door and just like barrel rushing me. But it didn't happen.
Now he's been charged with all kinds of charges, murder, etc. Here's the DA, Michael Rourke.
Unlawful termination of a pregnancy in the first degree, which is a class 2 felony as a result of Shanann being pregnant at the time of her death.
All right, so in addition to the two he killed, he...
strangled his wife who was pregnant.
Yeah.
Three counts of murder in the first degree after deliberation. One count naming Shanann Watts. One count naming Bella. One count naming Celeste. Each of those is a class 1 felony. I don't have to make a determination on that until 63 days after arraignment.
All right, talking about the death penalty.
All right.
Doesn't have to make a determination, but, you know, he's claiming, well, first of all, she's pregnant. He's having an affair.
Yep.
So they have this whole conversation, heated, whatever, and then he's claiming that the wife strangled the kids, but then he threw them in an oil tank? Really?
Yes, he put their bodies into his truck and drove them and deposited them in an oil tank. This guy's an idiot. I mean, come on. His wife, he claims, if you see your wife kill your kids, as this guy says he did, then he flips out and kills her, you're not going to round up the bodies and then dispose of them and try to hide them. No, he's guilty. He's gonna be out on that gurney with that IV needle going in there.
Well, just off.
People watching him from behind the curtains.
But, you know, for him to go on the air, you know, Joe Bartlett for once immediately said this guy's guilty just by watching him on the air the first time when he was begging for his wife and kids to come back.
Mm. And the other story, a woman was walking her dog down in South Carolina, Hilton Head, Cassandra Klein, and an alligator pops up out of the water, goes after the dog. She tries to protect the dog, and the gator switches to her, pulls her in, and she is now dead. You know, the gator doesn't eat you. I think the way it works, if a gator grabs you, they pull you in and then they roll you around and drown you.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, that's how
Eat you. Why? But they don't eat. They don't take a chomp. Nothing.
No, I mean, gators don't really eat people.
Right.
But, you know,
so
the gators...
what's the reason for...
Well, the gator felt... gator self-defense. You know, the gator goes for the dog, would eat the dog. That's its tidbit. Little snack there in the afternoon. And, the woman is fighting for the dog, and the gator's like, well, the woman's coming after me. I'm going after her. Snaps her in, pulls her into the water. Now, the question is, my parents live on a golf course. There are signs by every single pond, beware of alligators. You don't go near the ponds. You see the alligators in the water all the time. You see them on the banks of the water. I jog around the golf course there, and I'm always a little wary of getting too close to the ponds because you might disturb the gator, and it pops out and pulls you under.
But I heard that the alligators don't jump out of the water to go after dogs. There's something. Don't you think maybe the alligator was sick or something was going on here?
Well, I mean, an alligator can lunge out of the water at something if it's near the water.
Right.
A little dog like that, the gator can see it. Those gator eyes focused on that enticing, yummy-looking little dog, and the gator comes out. The gator can't go very fast on land, of course, but they can move quickly out of the water, snap something, and go right back just as quickly.
We had that one at Disney World, remember, with the little kid?
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
This is Sam Chapelier. He's with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources.
The alligator was removed from the water and has since been euthanized. We will obviously do a necropsy on it. The alligator was approximately 9 foot, 2 inches wow. long. And as the coroner said, it appeared that the alligator was after the dog. And in an attempt to free her dog from the alligator, the deceased was basically pulled into the water by the alligator.
Mm. Is that something?
I would say, though, if an alligator's going after my dog, I probably would say, so long to the dog.
Bye, Fluffy. Yeah, it's been nice.
I know. I'll get a new dog. I'm not going anywhere near that alligator chomping away at my dog to try to save it.
Oh, boy. Here he is.
Here I'm in trouble again.
Apparently, there was some kind of a tug of war going on.
It appears that the alligator grabbed the leash instead of the dog, and it was some sort of a basic tug of war with her trying to get the dog back via the leash. And in turn, the alligator drug her and the dog into the water.
Now, if your money was on the dog surviving of the three, only one of them survived. If your money was on the dog, you won. The dog survived. The other two are gone.
You are not going to win a tug of war with a 9-foot alligator.
They euthanized the alligator, and the poor woman is dead.
The alligator, the alligator is now a person, a pair of shoes.
Stop.
It's probably true.
You know, you're just...
I'm digging a hole for myself. Individual. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking to our friend, ABC News political analyst Alex Castellanos, about some interesting new details on Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. That's all coming up after the news with Joe Bartlett at 7 o'clock.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. We're going to be joined by our friend Alex Castellanos, ABC News political analyst, in just a few minutes to talk about all the things going on in Trump land. But this is a story that's really developing this morning, Len. It's gripping, I think. They found this Nazi labor camp guard. He's been living for years in Queens, and now ICE is going to be deporting him. He's, 94 years old? Apparently, it seems that people knew that he was living... He was living out there all the time.
Yeah, there were protests outside his house in the past. Yeah,
so what took him so long?
I don't know. That's
love to know all the details on this one.
That's interesting.
Will they have a news conference at some point, Joe, to explain why and now? And he's been going on for a long time. They knew this guy was there.
I would suspect so. The interesting part of this is the news is coming out of the White House. Hmm. So the White House is releasing the information on this story.
Hmm. Interesting.
Well, I mean, because it was the ICE agents who took him into custody yesterday and deported him. So
this is why we need these ICE agents, Len.
No.
Well, after those Nazis out there in Queens.
You're looking at me like I want them.
Yeah, sure you do. You want open borders?
No, you want open borders. You don't want ICE to.
Oh, my God.
Let all those Nazis in, Ren, right?
Yeah. I never once said that we should do away with ICE.
You never said we should let Nazis in.
Ever. Stop. Just stop this business of open borders. It's nonsense. But anyway, I'm amazed by this story. Joe was saying there was some story 15 years ago involving this guy. So he's been on the radar for a long time. I have seen the footage of protests outside his house. And now I'm wondering, You said 94 to 95, whatever he is. Germany has been very aggressive trying these ex-Nazis, no matter how old they are. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets put on trial in Germany.
He will be.
Well, they better hurry up. I don't know how much longer the guy's going to be around.
But they still do it. I mean, it's unbelievable. But, they finally got this guy, and what took so long?
I know.
I'd love to know some details.
Well, I'm surprised Israel didn't abduct him the way they did Eichmann. Fascinating story.
I remember
that Eichmann Street.
No, that Eichmann thing. I remember watching the video of that trial. It was all black and white TV back then, but
gripping
that was
stuff.
Wild. Yeah,
yeah. Our big three. Well, Trump says that he could take over the Mueller investigation. He's the big boss. He's the commander in chief.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Chief
exactly?
executive.
I want to hear what Alex Castellanos says.
Well,
about
he'll
that.
Explain it all to you, Len.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I tried
will,
this morning,
tried.
But you're not listening.
Well, I'm listening, but you make no sense.
Thank you. Also, the Colorado family slaying gets murkier and murkier. The guy out there claims that his wife strangled his daughters, and he flipped out and strangled her. She was pregnant, but now, well, in this studio, we all think he's responsible for the deaths of his entire family.
Sure, everyone
we shall
does,
see.
Yeah.
And strange story, shots fired into a New York City luxury high-rise apartment on the east side. Apparently, the shots are being fired across the way on Roosevelt Island by a handgun. And, if I'm living in that building, I'd keeping my lights out, maybe checking into a hotel. I don't want someone shooting me when I get up in the morning.
That's a crazy
go to the bathroom.
Story. At One East River Plaza in the 70s, and they think the shots are coming from Roosevelt Island with a handgun, but I'm curious if it's just a coincidence or if someone's actually targeting this building. I mean, that's crazy.
Well, we don't know. I'm just surprised a handgun can shoot that far all the way across the East River. I didn't know that bullet from a handgun could fly that
That's
far.
Good point, too. Yeah.
So. All right, let's check in with Alex Castellanos down in Washington, ABC News political analyst. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Michael.
All right, so tell me, Trump says he can take over the Mueller investigation. Will he be a little more efficient at it than Mueller is?
Well, apparently this president is not modest about presidential prerogatives. He is head of the executive branch, and legally he can make the argument that he could. Of course, politically, we're talking about strapping on the roller skates and going right down the hill to impeachment.
Don't pass go.
Going to hell in a handbasket. But, I mean, really? I mean, he could take over an investigation of himself? Are you saying that's perfectly legal, Alex?
Well, the President of the United States has power, for example, not only to pardon others from federal crimes, he can pardon himself. The check on that is not the legal system. It's Congress. It's the power of impeachment. And with a likely Democratic Congress in a couple of months, something to think about.
Mm. Alex, if we get a Democrat Congress, and I do believe the Democrats will try for impeachment, is there anything that Trump could react in a way that would swing some Republicans in the Senate against him and vote to remove him?
Let me see. Republicans in the Senate whom Donald Trump has insulted personally, who has tweeted against, who has... there may be a few who might flake off there, but that could be a real problem. Imagine a Republican bloodbath in the House and a bunch of scared Republican senators going into 2020 with Donald Trump leading the ticket. They're going to be wondering, how close do I get? Do I hug him? Do I step back? And, I might lose Trump voters if I vote to remove him from office, but what about swing voters that I need in my state? Will I lose them if there's evidence Trump did something wrong and I don't vote to remove him? It's going to be a tough call.
Mm. Alex, I'd love to hear your take on Rudy Giuliani's The Truth Isn't the Truth and the president saying yesterday he's afraid that testifying for Mueller would be a perjury trap for him.
Well, I don't think it helps your client when you go on one of the network shows on Sundays and say, well, my lying client, the President of the United States, might have perjury issues. But it is kind of interesting that Washington is all agog with lying. Again, these are the people who have engaged in legislative wishmaking for decades, promising us that, you know, of course, the Affordable Health Care Act will make health care more affordable. You can keep your doctor. We'll have shovel-ready jobs. And the media, of course, saying we should believe all of this. So if there's ever a town where the truth is not the truth, it's Washington, D.C.
Alex, do you think Trump should have some unease about the 30-hour meeting that his lawyer McGahn had with Mueller?
Well, it is unprecedented that someone's attorney would go meet with a prosecutor for 30 hours like that. And with that aggressive prosecutorial team as Mueller has. So I can tell you there are concerns all around the White House about what happened there. McGahn is sticking to the party line. He's saying, nope, nothing to see here. Move along. But, of course, this has been anything but normal.
We're on with Alex Castellanos, ABC News political analyst, joins us every week at this time. Alex, in 2 weeks, confirmation hearings begin for Supreme Court Justice nominee Brett Kavanaugh. I don't know. The Democrats are going to try to slow drag this thing down, but is there anything they can really do to stop this thing?
Probably not much. I mean, this is very similar to the Gorsuch situation, and the Democrats who voted to confirm him still have the same political pressure now. They're up for re-election in Trump states. For example, Claire McCaskill in Missouri, a state that Trump won by 19 points. Heidi Heitkamp, North Dakota, state Trump won by 36 points. Are those guys really going to vote against a Trump nominee now when we're even closer to November? Probably not. But, you know, it's going to be some fun hearings. We're going to be hearing about Bill Clinton and his cigars. We're going to be hearing about Judge Kavanaugh's memos that may be urging that the Clinton prosecution should have been more explicit. Well, gee, I think that might have gotten him an HBO show.
The Democrats going to jump all over the fact that Kavanaugh appears to have changed his position, that he was aggressive in pursuing Clinton, but since then he thinks that maybe the president should not be gone after while he's in the White House?
Yes, and it's unlikely to have any impact at all.
Okay.
It's still going to boil. Everything, as we know in Washington, is about Trump. You're either for him or against him, and those lines are already drawn. So they're going to go after him for that. But the truth is, this guy's been preparing for this job since the day he was born. He's been padding his resume. There's very little to get him on.
Yeah. All right. Alex Castellanos, ABC News political analyst, always joins us Tuesdays at 7:10. Always a pleasure talking to you, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
Good to be with you.
Drain the swamp. Drain the swamp for us, Alex.
Roller skating downhill towards impeachment.
I love those phrases Alex comes up with. Hey, when we come back, how dumb can guys be?
Pretty dumb.
Well, when there's a babe involved, we can be really stupid. We'll tell you all about that. But first, let's get some traffic from Bernie Viner.
710 WOR.
Hope everyone's doing well on a Tuesday. Looks like the rain hits us tonight and tomorrow, and then we're free and clear with a beautiful stretch of weather starting on Thursday. We've got some Mets tickets coming your way. My personal seats to see the Mets and Marlins September 10th. That's coming up in about 5 minutes. Michael Riedel, did you ever do one of those things like Tinder or any of those dating apps?
Never. No.
A lot of people do. There's no shame in
it. I met my girlfriend at the office.
Really?
Yeah.
What office? The Post?
The Post, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, she was a Cub reporter.
Yeah.
Back those days. Now, and then she became a big editor.
Right.
So we met there. Never even been on a blind date in my life, but I certainly am not going to do any of this Tinderbox dating or whatever they call these things now.
Wow, I met my wife on a blind date. Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you do any of that dating app stuff back in the day, Lynn?
They didn't. Yeah, they did have, which was just dopey. I remember when we were at Syracuse, they claimed they had computer matchups, and you filled out a form.
Oh.
And they said the computer will match you up with your ideal date. It just, you know, I remember filling out one of those forms. It turned out to be a girl I knew in the next dorm. I said, come on.
Back in those days, the computer was as big as a room.
It was. It was huge.
With cards, punch cards.
Computer, right. Anyway, so did you hear about this Tinder deal over the weekend? So this woman, I guess Natasha, is that her real name?
Natasha Aponte.
Natasha So she strung all these guys along on Tinder and got them all to show up at the same time in Union Square on Sunday. So a guy shows up for his date with Natasha, and there's like 100 dudes there. they're all there.
And then she makes them compete.
She decides she's going to have a competition. Well, first, before they compete, you know, she's going to have them do push-ups and do a running race.
Yes.
But before she does, she calls out. She starts weeding the crowd out. She says, if you're Puerto Rican and support Trump, leave.
Oh, okay. She's...
If you have a long beard, leave.
Yeah, you know what she is? It rhymes with witch.
Well, anyway, well, here, there's a little bit of audio showed up on Twitter.
My name is Natasha. Do you have what it takes to win a date with me?
Do you have what it takes to win a date? So there's like 100 guys standing around there. Each one thought, because she sent out a text or an email to each of the guys saying, hey, let's meet for coffee and we'll see what develops. And she had a little wink emoji. So each guy thought he was getting lucky.
And each guy got the exact same text from her. Yeah. So
well, let's see. I think this is not sexist, but I think we can evaluate her cuteness level here. Now, she's on the front page of the New York Post.
What do you think?
I'd show up to Union Square to meet her, but this seems like a very highly stylized picture. She is cute. Then you see her in a more candid shot in Union Square, and she's a bit of a plain Jane, I think.
Well, then there's no need to date her, huh?
No. I have a feeling, and the Post may be onto something here, I think this is a stunt of some kind.
Well, it was a stunt.
Well, no, but there's something more to it. Somebody involved in it said, we will be releasing a video Thursday that explains the entire project and story. Rob Bliss of Rob Bliss Creative told the Post. He wouldn't reveal much more about the project, but he said no product or service of any kind was involved and that Aponte is indeed a single woman.
You think this is going to be like an Amazon streaming show or something?
Some kind of a stunt, something like that. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I originally thought, it's a promotion for Tinder, and Tinder was behind it.
Right.
Yeah.
But if they're not, how could she use their name like that? I mean, you know, that's Tinder's not going to be happy.
Let's see what else she said here in Union Square.
They're like, hey, I'm competing to go on a date with this girl.
She's talking about what the guys are going to have to do to win her
over.
Now,
you said this. Now, we have some audio from CBS from a couple of the guys.
Yeah, CBS found some guys who actually stayed, and some were not happy. Yes, he stayed.
All right, here's one of the guys who stayed.
Guys were just lining up in a line, and she was just like, left, right, left, right.
Left.
I thought it was an elaborate joke at that point for all these guys, but not me.
Oh.
It was a booby trap.
She was really there for me.
Oh, wait a second. Come on. Let's back up.
It was a booby trap.
Booby trap.
Oh, my God. Did you even have to go back there? Well, just pass it over.
It was a booby trap. Post. What do you want?
Picture in the Post shows cleavage, so Mr. Newswriter said it was a booby
trap. It was a booby trap, yes.
Right. Here's some sound from one of the boobs who left.
Oh, wait. I thought I'm waiting for Natasha. You're waiting for a girl named Natasha. Some guys were holding flowers. A lot of guys were very excited to see this woman who is a con artist and a duplicitous liar.
Uh-oh. Whoa. Can you imagine if you brought flowers for the con artist and duplicitous liar?
Now, here's the question. This Tinder thing, is it a dating site or is it more of like a hookup sex site, Tinder?
Who are you looking at? I don't know.
The young man in the room, Anthony, said both.
Anthony said both?
So it is a hookup. It is a sex hookup thing, right, Anthony?
Both.
Both, yeah.
Hasn't worked out.
Anyway,
it hasn't worked out for him, by the way.
Did you show up? Were you at Union Square, Anthony, on Sunday night? booby trap?
No word on who actually won or got the date or anything. So I guess we're going to have to watch whatever video comes out.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was the whole booby prize story. But now is your chance to win my personal tickets to see the Mets take on the Marlins September 10th at Citi Field. Be caller number 19-800-321-0710, and you'll be the winner. To purchase tickets, visit Mets.com/tickets. Time for the latest news headlines, and for that, good morning to you, Joe Bartlett.
Good morning, Len, and here is something you don't hear every day. I don't think you've ever heard it. Chuck Schumer praising President Trump.
Oh, really? What?
Schumer says the White House did the right thing.
With?
The Nazi.
Easy pass.
Yeah, here we go.
He's a war criminal. He didn't deserve to live in the United States. He doesn't deserve to die in the United States, a place of freedom and equality.
Ice agents picked up 95-year-old Nazi Yaakov Pauly in Queens. He's being deported to Germany. First entered the U.S. in 1949, then gained citizenship shortly after that because he lied about his identity.
I was reading a long story about it, Joe. Apparently, several countries refused to take him many years ago. That's why he wasn't deported, and Germany was one of those countries. Now, he's not German, by the way. But
what is he?
But he's Polish.
He's Polish.
So anyway, now there's a new regime lately in Germany, and now they're being more aggressive, and now they agreed to take this guy. He's already landed in Dusseldorf, by the way, and they are hopeful, at least some of the organizations there, that he'll try this guy.
Good. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
President Trump says he could run Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation if he wanted to. Body tells Reuters. I decided to stay out, but I'm totally allowed to get involved. Yeah. President expressed concern, though, about being interviewed by Robert Mueller, believing he could walk into a perjury trap. Same thing Rudy Giuliani said yesterday. The truth is not the truth. The president said, even if I'm telling the truth, others may say something else, and that would make me a liar.
Oh, they're wearing me out. I think they're wearing me down. They're doing a good job. If that's their plan,
well, do you understand that, though?
No. It's working, though. It's absolutely
it's
working.
It's pretty simple, Len.
Yes, Len.
So am I.
Yes, okay. Oh, a woman killed by an alligator in South Carolina walking her dog at Hilton Head Island. The gator went after the dog.
It appears that the alligator grabbed the leash instead of the dog, and it was some sort of basically a tug of war with her trying to get the dog back via the leash. And in turn, the alligator drug her and the dog into the water. Mm.
Sam Chaplier with the State Natural Resources Department says the alligator attacks in Hilton Head and all around the South, not rare, believe it or not.
Not rare.
No, they happen from time to time. The news brought to you by Gary Goldberg Financial Services. Schedule a free consultation by visiting ggfs.com. North Carolina teacher, speaking of the Carolinas, has been removed from the classroom because she pole dances. Candace Mason.
What is that? On our own free time?
On her own free time.
In the classroom? Not in the classroom.
No.
Nope. And doesn't
that doesn't
dance
seem
at,
right.
Not right at all. Doesn't dance at a strip club. She just does it at the gym and in the privacy of her own
exercise.
Home.
There were some people that wanted to make that an Olympic sport. I mean, pole dance, that's not easy.
Olympic sport. No, it's not. Anyway, what happened was a video of her was posted on her Facebook account. Well, it was on her private Facebook account. Yeah. Somehow ended up in the hands of school officials. And she was fired.
I worked so hard to try to make sure I can provide for my daughters, for myself, for our livelihood, to have it jeopardized just for doing something that I'm passionate about.
Yeah, she wants to keep her job as a sixth grade teacher.
That doesn't seem right.
What was she wearing, though, when she was swinging around on the pole? That's the question.
Probably gym clothes. That's not right.
I don't know how undressed she was, Michael.
Let's look into that.
No, that's not right.
It's not right.
Not right. PC police got amok.
Totally. All he cares about is what she's wearing.
I'm just curious if maybe she was wearing something that was a little revealing.
But it doesn't make any difference. I mean, that was her private account. Didn't need to go to school.
Come on. At a gym. She's not. Now, if she's pole dancing at a strip club, okay, I can see that wouldn't be appropriate for a teacher, but come on.
Exercise, Michael.
Yes.
Listen, if she's cute, not wearing very much, I'm not going to object.
If she's not cute?
Well, I'll fire her.
He strenuously objects that she's not wearing much. Hey, when we get back, what do you say we go to the phones? The president called Mueller a thug. Is he a thug? Should the president shut him down? Should the president take it over? Can the president take it over? Can he investigate himself?
Can you explain it to Len? He does no clue.
Please explain this to me. It's coming up next. Give us a clear the lines. We have our Mets winner. Come explain this to me, 800-321-0710. But first, how about Bernie Vider with traffic?
UOR.
Hey, good morning, everybody. And Len, we have a winner of your personal pair of tickets to see the Mets.
Yes, congratulations to Fanny Lau of Flushing. She won the tickets to see the Mets and Marlins September 10th. We have more tickets coming your way. We have the Turning Point contest for free tickets coming up at 8:30 this morning.
Right, but right now the phones are open, 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. Trump says he can take over the Mueller investigation if he wants to.
Really?
Should he take it over? Should he close it down? Is Mueller a thug, as Trump says he is? We want to hear from you. Maybe you can explain the Constitution to Len, the powers in the executive branch that allow Trump to take over the Mueller investigation.
And he can investigate himself.
Yes, and he'll be more efficient than Mueller's been. 1-800-321-0710. We want to know what you think. Hey, let's go to Wesley on line two from Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping on the plane. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning. Enjoy your show. Absolutely, President Trump can fire Mueller. the president is the head of the executive branch. The DOJ and the FBI both fall under the executive branch. He can do it. Should he? That's another question. That's actually a political question, not a legal question.
Well, do you think he should, Wesley? You think he should?
No, because there's no crime.
Hmm. Yeah, well, here's the question, though. My concern was in his wording, because he told Reuters yesterday that he can take over the investigation. So to me, that says that, well, he takes over the investigation, and therefore he's investigating himself, which didn't make a lot of sense to me, Wesley.
Well, a lot of what the president says doesn't always make sense. But
so you listened to us out in Oklahoma. Why do you do? Are you a former New Yorker?
No, I've never lived in New York. Really? I listen every single morning.
Wow. How'd you find us?
On the iHeartRadio website. I enjoy talk radio, and I listened to a few other stations, found yours, and really enjoyed the show.
Hey, thanks. That's really cool.
Thank you. We love to hear from people around the country. Thank you, Wesley. And you sound like you know what you're talking about. And thanks for putting in perspective for old Len, who can't quite follow these things.
Well, yeah, thanks, Wesley.
Thanks, Wesley.
Yeah, but really, Michael, I think Wesley's absolutely right. I mean, I think it would be a horrible move politically.
Yeah, I don't think Trump
should
do it.
For him to fire Mueller.
But remember, Trump said he could take over the investigation, but he's not going to take over the investigation. So just putting it out there on the table that he could do it, but he's not going to do it. So I don't think you have anything to worry about, Len. But I think technically he does run the Justice Department. So
all right, let's try Mike on the island. Oh, I'm worried about this one. He's got a question for me. Do I have to answer? Am I under oath, Mike?
No, you're not under oath. Just a general question, okay. Len. All the guys at the FBI, the 10 or 12 people, Comey, McCabe, Strzok, Orr, Page, Rabicki, do you think it's all coincidence that those folks are all gone and been fired for defalcations or bad things that they've done? Do you think that's just a coincidence that all happened? They're just retired. They just walk away. There's something there, don't you think?
Well, I guess each case is different. Are you saying it's a coordinated effort on all their parts? I think the Strzok case is very different from Comey. The Orr thing, to me, is a little bit of a stretch. But
How is it different? I don't see how it's different.
Well, each case is
different. They were the top guys. Yeah. They were in charge of the FBI.
So what are you saying?
It amazes me how you don't see. You can't tie that together. But anything
But tell
related,
me what you're saying. But what's your point?
My point is there's something here. They were conspiring to take the man down. I don't know how you can't see that. Yeah. In an organization, there's no way that the top 7, 10, 15 people, okay, we're not involved in something. It just can't be.
Mike, I mean, I'm just not a believer. Suspect. I'm just not a believer in the deep state and conspiracy theories. I think are there individual agents who have political thoughts or one way or the other? Yes, but were they conspire? I don't think Strzok, believe it or not, I know you're not going to agree with me, but I don't think Strzok was conspiring to take him down. He just didn't like the guy.
Well, he got fired.
Well, he did.
Hey, let's go to Paul on line 2 in Wayne, New Jersey. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, good. Paul.
Hey, If Mueller's team is crammed with political hacks, okay, and you can draw a line between Bruce Orr at the top and his wife Nellie to GPS, that's a line that Mueller's ignoring. Why is he ignoring that line? Have that dossier get in the hands of the DOJ. Mm. And why are those top officials getting cleaned out today?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to get to the bottom of that, Paul. Or Len is.
So you have to be, how blind do you have to be, Len?
Yeah. Open your eyes, Mr. Magoo.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. And
That's not a conspiracy. Those are facts, Len.
Facts. And the dossier, you're going to tell me, you're going to go through this whole thing again. You're going to tell me the dossier was paid for by the Democrats and was totally fraudulent. That's why they got the FISA warrant. It's not a fact.
Len,
a lot of that's been debunked, as a matter of fact. It wasn't paid for by the Democrats originally. And it wasn't the absolute basis for the FISA warrant. But if you and Fox News want to believe it, take it to the bank. Hey, Jack in Greenwich. Oh, this is going to be good. There's a big butt coming. Jack, What do you want to say?
Hi, guys. Len, love you on sports, but politics is not your forte. You're a nice guy, but you know something? You're a typical Trump hater that does not want to give the president any credit.
Let me ask you a question.
Would you rather, Len, I got to ask you a question. Would you rather have a nice guy that smiles, people who carry cigars like Castro or Chavez, and be ruining the economy? Or would you rather have Trump, who's a little bit weird on his personality, do great things to the American people? What he's doing in substance helped so many people in this country, and all we hear is bashing on MSNBC, CNN, 97% of the time. Now, what do you want, a president who helps people or a president who tweets a little bit? And forget about his tweets and his personality. He's doing great things for this country, but you never give him 1 ounce of
credit. That's absolutely not true. But what you're saying is, I love it when someone says you're good in sports, but not politics. That's because I don't agree with him politically. So if I agreed with that guy politically, he'd say, oh, Len's great on politics. It's all about your perspective and what team you're on.
I happen to be great on Broadway and politics, Len, so there. Yeah.
Well, Broadway I'm not sure about.
All right. Hey, when we come back, Len stayed up last night to watch the VMAs because they bashed Trump, right, Len?
Well, mildly. Yeah.
And also, the Eagles have dethroned Michael Jackson. We have the details on those stories when we come back. But first, we're going to get some traffic from Bernie Feiler.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
At 7:54. So where were you to defend me? Here's my buddy on the air, Riedel, and these callers are giving me a hard time. Why don't you step up and tell them to jump off the bridge or something?
Oh, because I think the callers have every right to bash you. Go back to sports, will you, Len? Open your eyes, Mr. Magoo.
Can't you
see the deep state is at work out there trying to bring down this president?
It's the deep state. That's what it is. It's the deep. And what I said to that last guy, I really mean that. When someone says go back to sports, they don't tell you that if you agree with them politically. Then they think you're doing a great job. It's all. And I love the ones who think I'm biased.
Well, you are biased.
Well, wait a second.
What?
You know, you're a supporter of the right. So that makes you biased.
No.
Right.
I'm a clear-headed person. Right. I take the issues as they come. It just so happens that I find that conservatives, on the whole, have the best approach to the economy, to the way people should live their lives. I don't believe in the Democrat philosophy of having a big state that controls every aspect of your life, takes your money from you, and redistributes it.
Yeah.
All right.
But do you buy
Milton Friedman?
But that's not what I'm saying is, don't you buy the premise that everyone's biased?
Well, people have opinions. People have opinions.
Of course.
There's nothing wrong with that.
So that's why I love it when they say, I'm biased. Oh, really? And no one else is. Anyway. Hey, how about, speaking of not being biased, but just facts, which I think is why I like sports before, because a .327 batting average is a .327 batting average, and it's not up for opinion. But I would have thought that, well, you know, this was the best-selling album of all time. All right, so I thought Thriller, but I'm surprised. If I had to pick one album that would surpass it, and I love the group,
yeah,
but it turns out it's the Eagles' greatest hits that have surpassed now Thriller as the number one best-selling album of all time.
Welcome to the Hotel California. Such a lovely place, such a lovely place, such a lovely place.
Love that song as a kid.
I have a problem with this.
I do too, actually.
Why now?
I wonder if your problem is my problem.
I bet you it is. It's a greatest hits album.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
If you put out the greatest hits of Elvis Presley,
or Michael Jackson,
Dionne Warwick, it could be zooming right to the top there.
Exactly.
Still an album.
Thriller is a proper album.
Yeah. Yes.
The Eagles had great albums too, but this is not an Eagles original album. This is a compilation. You know, you can order this from Time Warner in the middle of the night kind of a thing. 1-800-EAGLES. K-Tag. This is, it's a Ronco thing. That's what this is.
Yeah, so that bothered me.
Yeah. It's 38 times like platinum now, though.
I feel like Michael Jackson just got robbed.
So do I.
By the way, Thriller's a great album. In the early 80s, I met Glenn Frey, the Eagles. He was at a Dodgers fantasy camp, and we were covering it for NBC Sports. He was a lovely guy, and he gave me an interview. Apparently, he wasn't talking to the press, but he was because it was sports, he did an interview. Nice guy, and I didn't realize how incredible he was and how incredible the Eagles
nice.
Were. I really didn't know. I just, you know, that was...
No, they are amazing, and every song on that album is a huge hit.
Take it easy, take it easy.
the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy.
The Eagles have the number one album of all time. Oh, by the way, did you watch the VMAs? Natalie, that's not something you watch.
I had it on for a little bit. I wasn't that taken.
No. I didn't know. And as soon as they came out and they started bashing Trump.
So
I
you thought it was, bad. Well, here's Kevin Hart. You thought it was bashing. Here's a little bit of the comedian Kevin Hart.
Understanding we're live coast to coast right now. I'm looking at this like it's game day, people. But do not worry, because at this game, you guys are allowed to kneel. You can do whatever the hell you want. There's no old white man that can stop you.
Oh, God. So
that's bashing?
Mm-hmm.
Here's another line.
You never know what's going to happen at the VMAs. I mean, beefs pop off, bad language, people run to the bathroom and send out crazy tweets. It's basically like the typical day at the White House.
That's okay.
Aha, hilarious.
You know what MTV is doing for the first time? Well, they've had voter drives before for getting the young people out to vote. They did it in 92 with Clinton. But they're doing it now, not in a presidential cycle. They want young people to get registered, vote, obviously, probably their way. Yeah. That was kind of interesting. Something different that they're doing.
And J-Lo winning the Vanguard Award, which is basically like a Lifetime Achievement Award. And I didn't watch it, but I heard she put on quite a show. J-Lo performing, and you said Ariana Grande was pretty good, Natalie?
Yeah, she's always good.
She was on the red carpet with her boyfriend, Pete Davidson, right?
Yeah, switching you know, it was pretty good. I caught a little bit of the Backstreet Boys, but
yes!
I mean, they're like the Backstreet middle-aged guys now.
They weren't even allowed in the building.
They're too old.
They were performing from the roof of Radio City Music Hall before the show.
And Madonna gave a little tribute to Aretha Franklin. Some of the reports said it was a little bit rambling, but at least she gave a nod to Aretha, so... We will put J-Lo up on our site at 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. Coming up, Melania on cyberbullying. Doesn't that start at home, Melania? Here's the news. It's 8 o'clock.